Spotify. Ars is Sifiri is proudly hosted by Red Nation Online. We can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to episode 47. This is your host, John, here with Tim.
What's up?
Ryan.
Hello.
And it's official. We're the best team in the world.
I said that last week.
Yeah, but now it's official. Well, maybe not the best team in the world, but certainly the best team in the NASL. With another win away against FC Edmonton, who are also playing away at Fort McMurray. Genius idea. That really paid off, eh?
It's the future of soccer in Canada. It's in Fort McMurray, Alberta.
Well, I wouldn't mind having those World Cup qualifiers against Honduras and so on later in November this year. There, that would be good.
St. John's, Fort McMurray, and Moncton?
Sure. But let's get right into the meat of things. Let's talk about the game against FC Edmonton. And as usual, let's start with our lineup. Who wants to do the back four?
Well, it's so hard to change it so often.
No looking.
So we had Pizer and Nets, Richter, Falvey, Alves, Trafford. The usual.
Yeah, and with this back line, we've only conceded 5 goals in the last 11 games, so why change anything? And then we had Richie Ryan, De Guzman, and Ubi as our midfielders, Heinemann up front, and Haworth on the right, and Oliver on the left. And that's how it started. So, who remembers the first half?
It was pretty exciting first half. Actually, the game started, Correa, who's the new midfielder, Costa Rican national team player, if I remember right, for FC Edmonton, he started the game, he almost scored, like, in the first minute. Had a shot, went right over the bar, if I remember right, and kind of scared the crap out of me, and he looks like a really good player, like one of the better midfielders in the league, but that's only after 60 or 70 minutes of play, but still he looked really, really good.
Yeah, so they had the first chance, but we were also quick to create some chances. I remember there was one that Oliver missed. Tim, do you remember that scene?
No, I missed it.
He was at the cottage and watching it with, like,
really, yeah, I was at the cottage, so
watching it on 2G.
So the first half and mostly the game, the black pixely blotches look better than the white pixely blotches.
So the rural internet is not as good as. Speaking of internet and the games and streaming and stuff, I heard the next 2 games aren't going to be on Rogers or aren't going to be streamed.
Yeah, again. Because of the baseball
the little
mini
league baseball
thing,
World League. We don't know, some sort of kids playing baseball, but I guess that's more important than professional soccer. Way to go, Rogers.
But, first place team.
Yeah, hopefully the games will be streamed by the NASL on the NASL website, you know, from the
they'll still be streamed somehow,
but we just won't have the great play-by-play and color commentary provided by Rogers.
Yes. Ryan, do you remember Oliver's miss?
Nope. Oliver is perfect in my mind. So if anything negative ever happens, it's just blocked right out.
I don't think he had that good of a game, to be honest. I was hoping that he would come off for Paulo Jr., but for some reason it was... help me out. Haworth that was taken off instead.
Yeah, I thought... I don't think he had a great game, but I don't think it was bad. I think he's still kind of not in form. I think we're kind of waiting for the Oliver of last year to kind of come around again.
I think isn't his nose still broken? Like, it can't be fully healed.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's out there without any kind of protection, playing. I agree he didn't have the best game, but I've seen worse performances up front this year, so...
Yeah, and last year.
And last year, yeah.
So the first 50 minutes, I thought we didn't look that good, but then we started looking a lot better. We started moving the ball around well. Maybe we were a little bit too patient on the ball at times.
I thought the game was like a chess match the first half. It was, everyone was like moving like positionally perfect. It was hard to get anywhere.
I thought they played like a prototypically great away game. That they kept the ball, like, slowed down the pace. which is technically to keep the supporters quiet. But since no one showed up, really, it was quiet anyway.
Yeah.
That was actually something really interesting about the game. It reminded me of one of those, sometimes you have like Champions League or UEFA Europa League games where like there's no audience because the clubs have been punished. And then you can actually hear the coaches and the players talk to each other. And you could really hear that this time. Like, you could hear them talk to each other and so on, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah, there's so much talking going on the pitch that you normally don't hear.
Swear words, the whole bit.
Yeah, and like, you know when like the players talk to the ref, like, you don't know like how bad it is. Like, they don't hold back at all.
Yeah.
And could they have not waited to play these games when the stadium was finished construction?
Oh, that's... Like,
either end was...
No, that's what Alberta looks like, because there's just construction materials everywhere. I don't know if you know that. That's just what it looks like there. That's just normal.
There's a lot of trees around here, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a lot of people don't know that, but northern Alberta actually has forests. And it's not prairies up there, but yeah. It's a crazy place for a game. If you told me 5 years ago there'd be a professional soccer game in Fort McMurray, I would have laughed.
Or that the NUP would be in power.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So it's a different Alberta than the one I grew up in.
But that's for our other politics podcast.
Yeah, politics with John and Tim and Ryan.
Lord of Elections!
You know what's interesting? I noticed is the Fury had most of possession in the first half. I don't know what the game ended up as, but I was surprised that they actually dominated. And usually against Edmonton, we don't do that. We don't hold the ball more than they do. So that was nice to see. That's a nice change. And it's nice to actually beat Edmonton. How many games has it been since we beat Edmonton? Like six? Seven?
Well, we've played them, what, 8 times before this one? And we had only beaten them once.
Once and drew once.
Yeah,
we just both at home.
And the rest were losses.
Yeah, 0-0 at home and a 1-0 win when Heinemann scored. That was one of the greatest victories in franchise history. Yeah, and then it was the 95th minute, so 5 minutes of injury time already, when we had a corner. And, you know, here's a funny thing. I actually haven't seen the goal because I, like, when they scored, I had just, for some reason, I was looking away. And they replayed it like 5 times, but like I was still freaking out so much, I just never paid attention to it.
It took me a good 30 seconds to realize they had scored.
It was a nice goal. It was a great goal. And Alves, like, again, wow. Like, this guy is a beast. And once again, I don't want to talk too much about him because I don't want any other teams to notice him and pick him up or...
On that note, he won Player of the Week.
Yeah, NASL. Quiet. Yeah, like, it's rolling. So, like, Pizer, Alves, Richie Ryan, like, everything's clicking, and it's nice to see. One thing I'd like to point out is Heinemann took one hell of a shot.
Mm.
Probably the hardest shot I've ever seen him take. I was just like, wow, he, like, killed that ball.
Yeah, it's good to see.
Yeah, he actually see had it.
You don't see a lot of that from him.
Yeah, usually he has like a chip shot goal or like, you know, like one that just goes.
And very often he just doesn't put enough power behind it and sort of like passes it.
But
to
he
the
just
keeper.
Drilled this one and I was just like, yeah, that was.
Actually, Tommy Heinemann looked really, really good all match that he played. I almost didn't want him to come off for Ali Hassan just because I thought like he really looked like he wanted to score out there. He was working really hard and had some really good scenes and a couple of really good chances.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to see him do is pressure the keeper more. He kind of like just lets the keeper kick it where he wants. And if you pressure the keeper and like, you know, it adds some urgency to the game and then maybe the keeper will make a mistake and his distribution won't be as good. But
I think
he always gives him that, like he always backs off right away where other forwards don't.
Yeah, but you can only really do that if all of your other players also press. So I think it's sort of like Ottawa Fury's strategy to hold off on the pressing and sort of like go back in their own half and they defend quite deeply.
Right, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's just like certain times it'd be like, it's not a 50-50 ball, it's more like a 70-30 ball or whatever, but just to pressure him because he might make that mistake.
Yeah,
like it might happen, but he just gives them the benefit of a doubt, which is, I don't think the forwards should do.
Also, Ubi Paropovic got a yellow in the second minute, which made me nervous the whole game. Yeah. Every time he had a foul, I was like, no! But luckily nothing happened, and I guess Dos Santos wasn't worried about it because he never took him off, so...
No, he's a mature player with tons of experience, lots of MLS experience with the Red Bull and a little bit with the Impact and stuff. So he's a player I don't think Dos Santos worries too much about out there. It's nice to see him back from the concussion so quickly. Hopefully everything's 100% there.
Yeah, I thought it was... You know, at the end of the game, I thought we probably deserved a win, but we took the tie.
All wins for now.
You know, it was a good time to beat the Eddies. Like, they were kind of at a depleted lineup, like Nodi Hassi or Frank Junkie. They are playing away from home. So I thought it was a good chance to get it. Lance Lang looked very pedestrian out there.
It was interesting how they only had, what, like five subs? Like, they didn't... Yeah.
For the home team.
They didn't even have, like, a full bench. Hanson Boakai came on, which I was a little scared of, just because the way he destroyed us once in Ottawa. No, not in Ottawa, but in Edmonton in the second leg in the V Cup last year. But he looked nothing special. Like, he tried really hard on the left. Didn't work. He rotated to the right. Switched. Didn't work either.
Which I thought was interesting, like, I'm surprised Edmonton doesn't do that more, but it's kind of scary seeing Lance Lang and Boakai on the attack. You know, like that's...
Yeah, but with the defense that we have right now, even they can't do anything. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's... And we'll need those guys. Like, hopefully we have the same back four for the next 14 games.
Don't jinx it, Ryan. But now would be a good time to play against the Cosmos. That's a team I want to beat so bad.
A couple more weeks.
I just wanted to mention, I was just about to tweet, like, in the 95th minute of the game, you know, I'm happy with a point away to Edmonton, and then they score, and I just freaked out. Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good win. It's nice. It's always good to beat Edmonton, but it's just, the wins seem kind of expected at the moment, the way this team's playing and gelling, and it's a weird feeling. And I was talking to John before we were recording here, and has a Canadian club in recent memory ever gone 11 games undefeated in the first or second division?
Toronto FC must have.
Yeah. If there's one team.
Yeah. Oh, we just lost all our Western, Southern Ontario listeners. Yeah.
But you still, they're unbeaten in 11. They're not letting any goals. They're scoring a ton now. But you still get the feeling that a lot of the fans are still like, are we for real?
Yeah, no one's.
How long is this gonna last?
No, it's for real. This team is for real. I'm saying now that top four is expected now, I think.
So we got kind of curious who is gonna host the soccer bowl this year, depending on the results, right?
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that Ryan looked it up, and so it's not automatically the winner of the fall season that holds the soccer bowl, I think. Yeah. So the way I understood it is, you have to be the winner of the combined season, but you also have to be the fall season winner or something?
No.
So this is how it doesn't work.
I'm going to let Tim take this one. I got, or you know what? I studied it all afternoon.
It's so complicated.
No, it's not really. I mean, the championship, which is the top, quote unquote, the top four teams, first game, first seed is the number one seed who won either the fall or
the spring.
Spring.
Mm-hmm.
The second seed, who also hosts a game, will be the second highest who won either the spring or
fall. So they got home field advantage.
But you have to win either spring or fall. Even if you're a winner of combined season and win neither, you're not number one or two seed.
Yeah, you can be like, you can be fifth place and won the spring season. Hear that, Cosmos? That's you. You can be like fifth place and won the spring season, and then say the team that won the fall season is in third place overall combined. So the fall season team would be the number one seed, the number two seed would be the spring season, and then the next top two teams in the combined table will be three and four.
So in which scenario will Ottawa host the final?
There's a lot of scenarios, yeah.
I mean, we'd have to win the fall to host, like, the first round, like the semifinal, essentially.
Okay.
And then
we could host both.
And then we'd have to be the highest seeded team to advance to the final to host it.
Let's just hope San Antonio, because that's really far away. Who else is far? Edmonton.
Everybody's too far away except the Cosmos and maybe Indiana.
Yeah, and yeah, well, that's not going
to
happen.
Even so. Edmonton and Minnesota are not going to want to come up to play Ottawa in November.
Yeah.
Well, Minnesota's pretty similar weather.
Yeah. It was one thing I wanted to mention. It was kind of funny in the prelude against the FC Edmonton game how much Ottawa Fury was trying to do this, like, it's such a big rivalry against FC Edmonton. And then they had this thing like, hashtag Derby weekend. And I'm just like, Derby? Hello? Like, Edmonton is the furthest team away from us. Even San Antonio is closer. I looked it up. Like, it's like 300 kilometers closer to us.
We're better. Oh, wow. We're about a Europe and a half away.
It's, like, how can you call that a derby? Like, some people argue when, like, it has to be in the same town, let alone they cross the river, you know? Yeah, so, that was kind of funny. Anyway.
I don't think it's a rivalry. Like, I don't think.
It's not watching, a rivalry because it's my second favorite team.
Even, I mean, even, I think even between the players, there is no real rivalry, kind of. There was no pushing and shoving. There was no real intensity.
Well, they did say they hated each other before, and I think that was after the two. But I don't think it's real. Like,
but I find the New York and Ottawa games are way more
rougher
and kind of a little more intense.
Yeah, even Minnesota, Ottawa, it's a lot more intense. Anyway, we should probably take a break, and then we'll be back with more content.
You're listening to the Hours is a Fury podcast. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
Welcome back, guys. So, we should mention that the academy teams played away this weekend. Both the junior and the senior academy played. So, how did that go, Blocksmith?
Well, they both ended 2-1. Senior team came out at a losing end, unfortunately. Dario Conte with the own goal. Or not the own goal, but the only goal for the Fury.
So one of the new guys that they picked up?
No, he's number 6.
Yeah.
Sorry, and who did they play against?
Lakeshore SC.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't you remember making the trip out to Kirkland, Quebec?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
No, I believe he's been with the team for a while. He's number 6. I think you mentioned him a couple pods ago. They don't play really well.
How did the junior academy team do?
They came out ahead 2-1.
Nice. So when our players play other players their own age, they usually win.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of good players on the junior academy team, I noticed. Remember the keeper that really stood out?
Yeah, he apparently saved a late penalty kick in this game to preserve the win.
He's unreal, and the way he organizes the back line and stuff. I was really impressed by a keeper that age being that, like, vocal. That was really, really nice to see.
We do have to sort of say that it's pretty shitty how little the official Ottawa Fury Twitter account is tweeting about these games. I mean, here they have a whole bunch of followers. Everybody is, like, plugged into soccer. And a lot of us care. But there were nothing during the game. And I don't think they even mentioned the results after, did they?
Yeah, there's a webpage. It's not updated enough. The Ottawa Fury FC page, they have an academy page. But it would be nice to see a little more media coverage on the academy team besides, you know, this podcast.
Yeah, like I said before the podcast started, I had to dig for the under 17 score.
So the guy that does do some updates online is @Mark_Stanford, right? So I don't know who that is.
Okay.
I think he's a coach of the team.
Oh, okay. So, well, at least there's that. So check that out, @Mark_Stanford, if you're interested in the academy games. So the next home games, well, the next games are both home games for both of them.
They have one more on the road, and then they play on the road on the 26th.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I misread that. We're playing against FC L'Assomption, L'Honneur.
Not bad. L'Assomption.
I'm guessing that's in Montreal.
They're all in Montreal.
I know. That's August 16th. And I guess the junior team will probably also play.
They always do. Yeah. But what's more important is the home game. August 22nd, Algonquin, when they host Blainville. So that'll be a good game.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll be...
So be there.
Or be square.
Okay, so what else do we have this week? We have some Ottawa news, I gather. Oh, yeah, we have a big signing to announce that came today. And that is Ugur Albayrak. Oh, God. It's Ugur Albayrak. And if you say now, you know, it says German striker and you can't even pronounce that name, it's yeah. because he's Turkish-German and his name is very much Turkish, so hard for me to pronounce, too. I've looked up his performance data. He played predominantly in the third division, some in the fourth, and he was most prolific in the fifth. He didn't really play much on a higher level, but I think he can do really well here in the NASL. He's a prolific goal scorer with a lot of games under his belt, but we haven't seen much of him yet, so kind of excited about it.
Nice seeing someone, you know, he's 27 years old, making the move. He's been practicing with the club over a month now.
Yeah.
So he's really familiar with the team. I've seen him around town for a while now, so finally signed and confirmed and happening.
I mean, like, some people are saying we don't need another forward, but, you know, our forwards aren't the best, let's face it. Like, it can't hurt to have another one in there. The only one thing that's a little sad is that although Ottawa Fury FC have not confirmed this, probably means that the international roster spot that was given up for him must be Nicky Patterson, right? He must be removed.
Yeah, basically, the Fury and any NASL team has, like, an active and an inactive roster.
Yeah.
So basically what they did is they moved Patterson over to the inactive roster, so he can't play the rest of the season, but he's still under contract. He can still be under contract, but he can't play. And then I guess, I don't know how it works. I don't think he's signed next year, so who knows if he'll come back.
Yeah, that remains.
He has the potential to come back.
For sure.
I think he wants to. I think he really likes it here. But I was just concerned about... It just kind of seemed to me like we're going to sign this guy just to sign somebody. I think if he was someone who you wanted to sign and was... And why didn't you sign him like 2-3 weeks ago?
But it could be like issues that we don't know, like visa related or roster related. Mm-hmm. That, you know, things that just needed some working out in the background. You never know.
They had to wait for the Money Mart loan to clear before they could sign him.
Those are like on the same day. According to the advertising.
200% interest. Better come to the game, guys.
So, yeah, I also wanted to mention that what I already hinted last week, we have now reached the total points that we reached in the entire season last year combined.
And we still have 14 games to go?
Wow. We have 14 games to go, so we got this in 16 games, and last season took us 27 games, because we have an extra team this year. We should mention, in something Canucks Abroad related, there's a kid called Jonathan Viscosi. He trained with the Ottawa Fury goalkeepers this summer, and with Bruce Gobelar, and he is now going to Southport FC in England, so good luck to him.
Wow. So Southport, what is that? Like, that's what division?
It's the English Conference, so it's below NPower 2. It's basically their fifth division.
And you play for a team like that, it's good chances of moving on up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think teams in this league average around like 1,000 game. Hmm. So he'll get some views.
And there was some other goalkeeping news. Chad Bush, our third keeper last year, he's apparently going to be going to UBC. So he must be pretty smart if he got accepted to UBC.
Yeah, I guess. Better, definitely smarter than someone that got accepted to UFC.
Okay.
No, but Thunderbirds have a really good program there.
Well, it just got remarkably better.
It just got remarkably better, especially from the keeping side, but they have a really good soccer program at UBC, one of the best in the West. So
yeah, so let's take our focus to some NASL news. Christian Ramirez won NASL Player of the Month.
I've heard of this Ramirez. He plays for Minnesota United or something.
Yeah, he was a little cold for a while, but he's turned it back on, and Minnesota is back in form.
Great.
Don't we play them in 2 weeks?
Do we?
Yes, we do.
We just played them.
Nope.
And then there's so much publicity with New York Cosmos. They're always trying to sign the oldest possible player that still can run around. There's some rumors that they want to sign the Greek and former Celtic striker, Samaras.
I wish the Cosmos would look more to their academies, because they got some really good young players in the Cosmos B team, who's going to the finals this next week. And they have like an academy program now that includes something like 16 teams in the New York area. So they have this depth of talent that's like they can draw from, and then they go sign these 37-year-olds, you know, to sell tickets, which doesn't seem to be working for them.
Yeah, I just think it's a matter of putting butts in the seats. I mean, look at the game this weekend. They had barely over 4,500 people there. I mean,
and they're in New York.
Yeah.
Like, the most people anywhere. Although, as it turns out, Samaras is only 30, which really surprises me, because I feel like he's been around forever. Like, I thought he's at least, like, 38.
Yeah, his roommate Sampdoria are looking at him, too. Very good player. He's almost like the Greek Tommy Heinemann.
Interesting. That's a weird image in my mind, the Greek Tommy Heinemann.
Yeah, apparently he just had his medical at Sampdoria, so that rumor is probably going to go away then.
Yeah, if you follow on some of the forums, but with the Cosmos, they're linked to every player. I don't know where these rumors come from, but... someone actually signed someone now, right? San Antonio. Who did they sign?
Daniel Fernandez from FC Twente.
I know someone. I'd be pretty happy about that.
Who's that?
I think Mr. Baggy of Stony Mountain Riot. Yeah.
Twente Eshede.
Yeah,
he didn't play last year. He's kind of... he was loaned out to a couple of Greek teams. Panathinaikos is one. And I read the article. It was on Reddit, and he says... that he makes about 420 euros a year.
20,000 euros?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you never know. He was playing in Greece, so.
It's more than I make.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's a big signing for San Antonio. San Antonio, they spend a lot of money, and that's the club that puts all their profits to charity.
Mm. Interesting. Not this year.
Yeah, this year they probably won't have profits.
It's the first time I've heard of this. I have no idea.
Yeah, he has a foundation. For his daughter. So all the profits go to this foundation.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Interesting fact there. Oh, let's go through some of the other games that happened this weekend. So Jacksonville Armada played against Minnesota United on one of those fairly rare Friday night games, which I like because there's not a lot of other soccer on, so it gives us something to watch. Attendance was pretty good, 6,847 people. Looked like it was pretty entertaining game as well, because it ended 3-3. A save by Jacksonville keeper Gallardo was the ESPN play of the night.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it on YouTube, go check it out. It's a pretty amazing save.
Where was the game? Was it in Jacksonville or Minnesota?
Jacksonville.
So that 6,000 crowd's kind of disappointing for them, isn't it?
Well, it's close to 7,000. 6,800. That's not bad.
Yeah, but down from their average, right, I think.
Well, they're not doing very well, so it's...
Yeah, they are in last place. But they are an expansion team.
Yeah.
And their average height is like 5'8", so...
Yeah, and there's some flooding. I don't know if it's hit Jacksonville, but Tampa definitely had it. I don't know if it's gone up to Jacksonville, but the weather isn't that been that great over there.
Yeah, Tampa Bay played against Carolina Railhawks this weekend. In front of 6,200 almost people, which is quite good for Carolina. There were 2 goals in 3 minutes.
Of course, one of them was Hurts off.
Yeah.
Totally.
Most underrated
player. Underrated player. Well, Shipolani, I think, is most underrated.
But yeah, Tampa Bay Rowdies now haven't won in 4 games. Like, what's going on? I thought they're like one of the favorites for winning the fall season for sure.
Yeah, I think coming into the fall season, they probably would have been top of my list of teams that would kind of challenge for the fall season, but they've just fallen off. I don't... Maybe just... You know, they're just not meshing as a team.
I blame Freddie Adu.
There you go.
Since they've signed Freddie Adu, they've had no luck at all.
Oh, that could be why the attendance was so high.
Yes. Mm. Everyone wants to see the future of American soccer.
I don't think he played
the American Messi.
I could be wrong, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't think he played, but people thought he would play. And then Indy had the pleasure of losing again, this time to the Atlanta Silverbacks, 1-0 in front of 9,632 fans. So Atlanta is pretty hot right now.
Yeah, we were making fun of them a couple weeks ago, and they're second in the fall table.
I know, but they look.
They know nothing.
They didn't look great against Ottawa. So
no, I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah,
they gave us a run for money. We probably were kind of lucky with that penalty call to get the win in that game.
And I think Dane Richards is, once he gels with that team, he's going to be really good. Something you don't hear his name a lot.
Yeah, so Atlanta's won two in a row, and they're now, you know, essentially second behind Ottawa in the fall table.
All right.
Who would have saw that coming?
Nobody. That leaves only one game, and that was the New York Cosmos against Fort Lauderdale Strikers. Cosmos seemed back in form. They won 2-0. Poor attendance, as we mentioned, 4,500 people.
Hunter Freeman scored the killer goal in the first half. Yeah, there was this pitcher on, and it was like, I think it was the official New York Cosmos Twitter, and they're like, the 5 points are out in force tonight, and then it shows like the supporter section, and it was like 15 people. And I thought maybe it was a sarcastic tweet, but
I've never seen a Jacksonville game, but every game I see, with the exclusion of Indy, I think our supporter section is bigger than all of the other teams. I might be mistaken, they might be moved around, but
New York can have big supporter section when they all get together, but there's some, I don't know why, they're not like our supporters who like come to every game. They like some games, some other games.
And traffic, man. It's traffic.
It's traffic. Well, it is in Long Island, so.
But it was pretty sizable, a supporter section when we went to.
Yeah, the game we went to in Brooklyn was, it was a good turnout.
But anyway, that's their first win for New York Cosmos in the fall season.
Good for them. Let's hope they don't win anymore. That's their first win, eh? Wow.
Yeah, I'm just double checking the table and yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, they've only played four, but still.
Yeah, big game coming up for them this Wednesday when they face Minnesota.
That's always a good game, New York Minnesota.
So that's one of their makeup games. Yeah. As they're two behind us now.
Yeah, but even if they win both games, they'll still be 5 points behind us.
Well, in the fall table, but not the combined.
Yes, in the fall.
But we're getting greedy now. We want the combined table. So.
Yeah, why not?
We want them soccer bowls.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at our listener questions this week. Now, we asked, which player has surprised you the most this year, NASL, Fury, or both? Now, I'm the guilty one. I came up with this question, which people didn't really like that much. Fury Fanatic tweeted in, so thank you, Stuart. He says, for Fury, it's Alves. I knew it was a good signing, but didn't realize how much we'd value him. Mauro stepped it up, too.
I fully agree with Stuart there.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
Yeah, hit it right on.
Mm. Yeah, Alves, just because he's by far our best player, and then Mauro, I think I'm glad he brought him up because he's one of those Canadians that's really young but steadily developing and just getting better every game. What about for you guys personally? So Alves is a given, but what about...
This might be cheating a bit, but Trafford. Like, I know that he was awesome in center back, but I'm really surprised at how quickly and how well kind of picked up left back, and now it's his, and he's not moving from it. And that was probably the surprise for me so far this season.
I knew nothing about Falvey at the start of the season, and he's just turning into more and more of a beast every game. And I think if Elvis wasn't there, everyone would be talking about Falvey. And I think Elvis is kind of overshadowed. And Elvis gets, you know, those headers. He's got a few goals.
Yeah, what I love about Falvey are just his tackles. They're just amazing. They're
perfect.
Yeah. One day he's going to get it wrong, but so far...
That's okay. He's allowed one because he's done so many good ones.
Yeah, for me, I'd have to say I'm also really impressed with Ryan Richter, who I think I mentioned this last week already, but... After his debut, I was like, oh my God, who did we sign here?
He got red carded right in his debut.
So. Yeah, and then like the first couple matches, I didn't think he looked that good, but he's really solid in the back. He wins almost, you know, every tackle that he goes into. He distributes the ball well, and lately he's been going up more and creating dangerous situations up front. So I'm really happy with him.
And on the other side?
What do you mean, like, negative surprise? Yeah. Oh, that would be tough. Like, I think...
it's gonna hurt.
If there's one player that I think is we probably won't see next year, I'm going to say probably Davies, Phil Davies.
Really? I think he really hasn't had a chance with the injury and stuff.
I just think that he's really versatile, which is great, but he's only, like, okay at everything, but not great at one particular thing.
This hurts me because it's a player I was most excited about at the start of the season. Maybe I just overhyped him, but Paulo Jr. I saw what he did in Salt Lake. I followed RSL very closely. They're the closest team to where I lived, and I was a big fan of them when they went to the CONCACAF finals and everything. And I was like, oh my God, Paulo Jr. And he just hasn't really produced. Like, he's got the speed and everything, but it's just the final touch isn't there.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. I mean,
sorry.
It's fine. Great minds think alike. But yeah, first four or five games, he looked awesome. Like, he looked great. And then he kind of hasn't found it at form.
What about Paul Trinieri? He's another player that hasn't really put himself into the spotlight.
I don't think he's had enough chances yet.
Yeah, but there's a reason why he's not playing.
Yeah, it seems weird that he's played a lot early on, and he did well. I guess he did well. He scored the first goal this year first, but we haven't seen him playing.
Hasn't he played at every position? He's played forward, midfield, defense?
Yeah, early on, and this is Mark DeSantis just hasn't gone back to him.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play some more.
I'm really interested that it seems that his lack of playing time and... That tweet that he tweeted about his extension was kind of the same time.
I don't know. We just have a team with some depth now, you know? And it's like not every player is going to get full minutes. But yeah. It's a good problem
to
have.
Another player that we can mention that kind of falls in the similar category is Drew Becky, who last year, you know, either played center back or left back. And then this year it sort of looked like he's going to reinvent himself as a defensive midfielder. But we haven't seen him play at all, and he's fully fit.
He's played a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he basically played Richie Ryan's spot in the spring, and then as soon as Richie Ryan came back, I guess they couldn't really find a spot for him.
But maybe that's something like Dos Santos needs to manage the squad a little bit, not change it too much, you know, put Becky in every now and then and get the minutes in there, and so we have a good, capable squad going into the final stretch.
I found it last year, too. He gets hot and cold on guys. Like, he'll run players for a few games and you won't see him for a while. Then he'll run another player for games and then you won't see him for a while.
Yeah, well, that kind of makes sense. One other player that has yet to convince me, who's very average to me, is Andrew Wiedemann. He's been improving, I think, but he still hasn't scored, I think.
No, only Haworth and Heinemann and Hassan have scored.
Wiedemann scored, but it was in the V Cup.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, in the V Cup he scored, yeah. We kind of lost that game anyway, so.
Yeah, if there's one player that's going to, I guess every forward is going to get a kick in the ass now that they signed that German-Turkish dude. But I think Wiedemann's probably the lowest on a totem pole now, and he's probably fighting just to stay with the club for the rest of the year, I'd imagine. But I thought that recently his move to the wing, he played a lot better than when he was just that number one striker.
And we also had some other listener questions this week. Darren in Ottawa wants to know, where should the parade start when the Fury win the soccer bowl? Let's not get carried away. I think we've only played, what, 6 games in the fall season so far? And we have, what, 14 games remaining, was it?
Something like that, yeah.
But if we do, let's speculate here for a second. So it should probably start at TD Place, right?
No, it should end at TD
Place. Okay, all right, so we have an endpoint.
Start?
City Hall, maybe?
My answer is really bad. I think it should start in Toronto, just to rub it in their faces. Second-year club.
Yeah, I thought we should start where we started at Carlton, but that's a really short parade.
And there'd be protests. Can't go through that neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the Glebe. City Hall, come on.
It's a track, but yeah.
Hmm?
It's a track, but yeah.
Yeah. City Hall, down Elgin.
And then
cross the bank.
And then a bank. Perfect. Okay, yeah. So that's settled. So that's where the parade will be, most likely. Very good. And then at Matt Bafia wants to know, what did he ask here? What clubs would you like to see Ottawa have friendlies with in the future?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so let's separate this question into what realistic clubs would you like to see the Fury play and what in a dream-like scenario would you like to see? So let's do realistic first.
I'd like to see Man United.
Realistic first?
Oh, realistic first?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. like a third division club, like a Millwall, Middlesbrough, Charlton Athletic.
That was kind of the Glasgow Rangers scenario.
Yeah, they're third division.
Second.
Whatever.
Second Scottish.
That's like third division anywhere else.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of glad we don't have a friendly this year because I find them really annoying, especially when they're during the season.
They're not my favorite, to be honest.
No. Maybe during the spring fall break. That'd be a good time for something like that.
I would much prefer a friendly between two visiting teams.
Yeah, like a moneymaker.
Yeah.
I think that would do well.
That would be nice.
And I think we have the stadium for it. We have the soccer community for it. Mm. Like that tournament that just happened in the States and in Toronto, where it's like PSG, Barcelona, all those teams.
Yeah.
They played one of those games here, it'd be sold out.
The Intercontinental Cup or whatever?
Yeah, it'd be sold out, 24,000, guaranteed.
Probably our capacity is a little low for that. They can, you know, last year, I remember when they had that Man United game in Michigan and there was like 100,000 people in a preseason friendly.
Minnesota last year before the Fury game, like they had Panathinaikos, Man City.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think Minneapolis is bigger than Ottawa, but it only gets tremendously bigger.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, like, dreaming, like, who I'd like to see play the Fury. I'd like to see a team like FC Berlin play the Fury. I'd love to see a team like that kind of, like, soccer culture and...
You mean FC Union Berlin?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Union. Yeah. And...
St. Pauli?
I'd like to see a team from the Americas, like someone who's in Champions League right now. Maybe some like a Tigres or
Pachuca.
Not Pachuca. I hate Pachuca. Arab Unido, a Honduran team, Olympia, something like that. I think it'd bring in fans that don't normally come to the game, and it would be good to try to draw a different crowd to the stadium.
Oh, and since we're on the topic of listener feedback, I just want to give a shout-out to Yankee Yank, listening to us from Maryland. He's a listener who said hi to us during the World Cup, and he sends us emails from time to time, and he's noticing that the Fury are doing so well. And we appreciate your enthusiasm. Ryan, say a few words, please.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to hear, and people should really search out other NASL podcasts and you know, try to learn as much about this league because it's really turning. It's five years old this year, and it's really turning into quite a league pretty quickly.
Yeah, I've been listening to the Tough podcast, the Two United Fans podcast. It's really entertaining. Those guys are really funny, and it's also quite informative. Yes. We're not associated with him in any way, but just from a personal point of view, I quite like them.
Yeah, I listened to A Bloody Shambles.
Indie one.
They're actually pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
So if you're from another podcast and you want to collaborate on anything, we do have an email. It's oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com or via Twitter.
OITF Fury. Or no, OIT Fury.
Yes.
Yes, it's new. We're learning it. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm taking over John's job here. And we're going to preview the game coming up in Indy.
You're listening to Ours is the Fury, your number one source for all things Ottawa Fury FC.
All right, welcome back, guys. So let's do a little review on the... a review? We already did that. Let's do a preview against the Indy 11 that we're going to be playing away from home this weekend on Saturday at 7:30 Eastern Time.
Yes, how many hours drive is it down to Indiana?
I can tell you exactly. It's 12 hours.
That's pretty far.
Yeah. We were thinking about it, but then we're like, no. Not this time.
Getting there is not a problem. It's just getting back.
Yeah.
Air holes.
We had it all mapped out.
Yeah, we had it all planned out.
Anyway, we won't be there. And this is the one that Rogers TV won't show, right? So hopefully there will be a stream.
Yeah, it should be on NASL.com.
You'd imagine so. If not, I'm going to freak out.
We can hijack ESPN.
VPN it.
Oh, we're going to get the announcer that cheers for the Indy. Oh, he's my favorite guy ever.
Yeah, maybe we can learn a few like tourism information about Indianapolis.
So this is last year, the whole broadcast was just riddled with like product placement and not really play by play, but more like just cheering.
It was cheerleading.
They almost scored.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a pretty strong squad. Indy just lost. We always play well against Indy. There's a pretty good chance that we're going to get at least a point there. What do you guys think?
What's happened with their goalkeeping? It's just fallen apart.
I told you last time, Montreal broke Christian Nietzsche.
Yeah.
It's done.
Nietzsche.
But when, oh man, we were at that game in Montreal, the CONCACAF Champions League final, and he couldn't do anything about that first goal that they scored on them, right? It was like a volley from 5 yards. Like, he can't be blamed for that.
That's the first goal, yeah. But that's in the past.
Yeah, poor Christian Nicht. I mean, I have a kind of a soft spot for him because he's German and all, and he's in North America playing soccer. But yeah, he's not been looking great lately.
Yeah, so I think we have an advantage there. I think we have advantage offensively on them.
Yeah.
And defensively.
Two games we played last year away to them, we won both. I don't think Donatelli's going to score two. He did last game there.
No, Donatelli's not expected to score this game because he's no longer with the club and someone already has his number. They didn't retire his number.
That's
number 14.
You should write an angry email to someone.
To someone.
But just not Donatelli.
Just not Donatelli. But I know Indy, they could surprise us though. They always play well against top teams and they always get up for top teams and who knows? Anything can happen in this league. You know, the Atlanta Silverbacks could be second place in the fall. So,
or the Ottawa Fury could be first.
That's not a. This is not a surprise. I've been reading American articles all week about how such a surprise Ottawa Fury. It's like you haven't been paying attention. Like when we were losing before, it was like bad luck or like a penalty call against us. You know.
But if you think of like all the previews of the NASL season, like no one had Ottawa in the top five. No one.
No, not even us, I don't think.
I definitely didn't.
Yeah, so this is good.
But Indy's not doing so well this fall season. I mean, I think, I don't remember the spring season, but they're pretty level. And now Ottawa in the combined standings 9 points ahead.
Yeah, Indy have 5 points out of 5 games, so that's not a good average at all. They've only had one win. They've had 2 draws and 2 losses.
Yeah, some players to watch out for. We always say the same guy here, Eric Norales. I think Honduran national, right?
Honduran.
He's a pretty aggressive, pretty aggressive defender. Kleberson, I think John can tell us a bit about him.
Isn't he dead?
No, he's still alive.
No, he's injured, though.
He's always injured.
He's gimpy.
Yeah. And Pineda, they got a good team. And, of course, when Indy played here last, we were talking about Don Smart. Like, he was the second coming of soccer. And he is a good player. He's definitely in the upper crust of the league.
For sure. Scored against us, right?
Yeah.
He did, unfortunately, yes. Goal. Yeah. So, yeah. They got a team, you know.
You got Pleiser and Alves and Falvey.
Yeah, I'd say we're a better team. I'd confidently say that.
But anyway, we shouldn't expect to win every game from now on out. So like, I'd be happy with a point. But if it's a win, I'm even more happy.
Well, we're starting to win on the road. That's something that hasn't really happened before. So if we win again on the road, we're really rolling.
Yeah, this is actually our first road win of the season against Edmonton.
Yeah, the rest have been draws.
So let's be dubbed the unbeaten 11 versus the Indy 11.
Interesting. Well, you shouldn't have said that out loud. You could have used that for
an
article.
That's why they call him the blogsmith. I haven't written an article in months.
But podcasting.
That's very true.
Yeah. So.
Yep, Indy. I mean, it's the NASL. Any team can beat any other team, I think. I think anything but a win will be kind of disappointing.
I was thinking about that today. What if we lose like two in a row? Is everyone just on a like collapse on this team?
I hope not, but hopefully we won't have to discuss that scenario because it will never happen.
Well, let's be realistic. But no, it's just like we have a good thing going here. I've noticed in the press, like everywhere, places I would never hear the Ottawa Fury mentioned. People are talking about it. Someone mentioned that We Are Fury was actually trending the other night.
Yeah, that's really cool. Second in Ottawa, apparently.
Yeah, and I had a coworker come up to me today and was like, "Oh, I heard the Fury signed a striker." I'm like, "What? This has never happened."
So, you know, it's good. Hopefully it gets more ingrained in the sports culture of the city and people really start to notice it. Heard more talk of, like, there should be 10,000 people at every game. Like, people saying that. So, and it's true. There should be 10,000 people at every game, so... Maybe this is a turning point for the franchise. Mm. You know, it's all coming together.
Yeah, I think it's a big game. Away game. Haven't played too many of them since June. But after Indy, if we can kind of look forward, look past it, we've got three home games after that. Minnesota, New York.
When is our bye? Like, we haven't had a bye yet.
2 weeks, I think we play. We play Indy, then we play Minnesota, and then we have a bye.
Okay. Another soccer-related thing that's happening this week, actually tonight, is the start. Well, it won't be tonight when you listen to this, but tonight in real time. The CONCACAF Champions League is starting up again, so Ryan's super giggly and excited.
Yes.
And I tend to just start paying attention to it in the later rounds, but it's pretty good soccer. It's always interesting because it's lots of exotic teams, and you have these clashes that you don't have anywhere else. You know, MLS teams going to Central America and Caribbean teams.
Yeah, it's a mix of theater and sport. But some key games, I think one that's going to be very important is Vancouver and Seattle Wednesday night. So they're in the same group, and those teams hate each other right now.
So for those Canadian soccer fans that don't know, Vancouver has the oddity of being in the... Champions League, even though they haven't won the Canadian...
Haven't won anything.
Amway Championship or Voyageurs Cup, like we like to call it. Just because they were the best MLS team last year and we had a scheduling change or something, that's why they're representing Canada this year.
Yeah, they're realigning the Voyageurs Cup. Hopefully for more teams to be included in the future. So Vancouver's... I think they're probably the best club, though, to represent Canada right now. Well... What's weird is they're playing Champions League like this week, and then in a couple weeks they're playing the Voyageurs Cup
final.
Well, not the final. There's two legs, yeah, with Montreal.
Well, yeah, two final legs.
And another thing that's really crazy is Drogba is available for the Voyageurs Cup games.
Yeah.
Like, so this...
Can you imagine Drogba with a trophy, like, running around with it?
With the Voyageurs Cup.
Yeah.
Like, if we said that, like, 3 months ago... Everyone would be like, what are you doing, Drogba, holding up the Voyageurs Cup? But it's a possibility, so that's some exciting
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so that's one team that we should watch out for. Vancouver, is there any other matches?
As far as, of course, Club America, they're expected to run away with it again this year. There's always interesting little teams that come. There's one from Trinidad called Central FC. They're a brand new club. They're only 3 years old. They were started by, I can't remember the player's name, a former Manchester United player.
Dwight York.
And they're playing the LA Galaxy Wednesday night as well. So it's probably the easiest game the Galaxy are going to have. The squad is completely made up of Trinidad players, and I don't think they'll make it out of the group stage, but it's a nice story. Mm-hmm. So it's weird that teams from like Guatemala and Costa Rica, it's like every country is represented. Some of these countries have 2-3 teams, and Canada gets one because we only have 5 professional clubs, but in the future I think that's going to change. We're going to have more teams.
Yeah, more on that when the announcement is made for the Canadian League.
The what?
Anyway, I think it's time to wrap it up, unless there's anything else you want to throw out there.
Somewhat big in Canadian soccer is KW United FC beat Red Bulls under 23 to win the US PDL title.
That's great.
Over the weekend.
PDL champions.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking awesome. That's a great story.
You know, Kitchener is a big enough city to, you know, move up a couple levels. And Chattanooga is playing a 4th Division NPSL Championship against Cosmos B team.
So my U.S. geography is notoriously horrible. So where exactly is Chattanooga located?
Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they had 9,000 people at their semifinal game. Or 9,200, I think it was. And they were playing against the Indiana Fire.
Isn't that the team that one of our friends has joined?
Yeah, well, Aaron played on the team. He's back home now, but he was on the team this season, yeah.
Okay, very cool.
And they made it all the way to the semifinals. So congratulations to Indiana to making it to the semifinals, and congratulations to Chattanooga, like 9,000 people. And they're going to be hosting the final. And they're expecting over 10,000 people for 4th Division soccer.
That's awesome. It's fun, this kind of era of soccer in the States where you find just these weird pockets of soccer support where you wouldn't necessarily find it. I wouldn't necessarily think Tennessee, like Middle Tennessee, would be this hotbed of soccer, but it is.
Yeah, they sold out a national team game there in like minutes. I think it was an hour and 4 minutes or something. They sold out a national team game. And Nashville's hosted the American national team, and they've sold tons of tickets. So maybe it's time to put a pro team in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we'd like to see that with Canada once this Canadian League kicks off.
Well, I think we've reached the end of the podcast this week. We're just under an hour here. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on Zoom. Or any of your other favorite podcatchers. You can find us on rednationonline.ca. We have an email address, oursisterfurypodcast@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page. Just search for Our Sister Fury. We also have a Twitter account, which is, Ryan?
OIT Fury.
Woohoo!
We have a lot of shit.
We do.
So much.
Love you guys. Oh, also, we won't be posing a question until next week on social media.
Toodles.
Later.
Bye-bye. Make you move while there's still time. simple how you qualify to host the Soccer Bowl. So the Soccer Bowl will be contested by the winners of the spring and the fall season, hosting the next two teams in the full regular season table. The half-season champions will earn the number one seed and the number two seed, with the higher seed going to the team with the better full season record. The next two next team will earn the number three and the number four seeds. In the event that the same team that wins both half-season championships, they will be the number one seed, with seeds two and four going to the two next best full season teams. The semifinals will have the number one seed hosting the number four seed and the number two seed hosting the number three seed. The winners will meet in the championship game, Soccer Bowl 2015, hosted by the team with the higher seed, of course!
Unless the team starts with a consonant, and then they have to play a team that starts with a vowel. But that's only if the Soccer Bowl is taken on a Saturday.
And the Ottawa Fury can't host the Soccer Bowl if the Red Blacks make the playoffs.
Oh. Ouch.
Oh.